Greetings in Jesus' name. It's good to be here with y'all this morning. How many of y'all are excited to be a child of God this morning? Amen? Amen. Thank you, Steve, for the reminder of a God who sustains us. And I'm so thankful for that this morning. I have felt him sustaining me the last several days. And I'm just, it's exciting to serve a God who fights for you, who sustains you, who gives you life, who gives you strength. And I hope to share some of that in the message this morning. Thank you all for praying. I ask that you continue praying. We'll see what God has for us this morning. So as most of y'all know, if you have been observing, if you've been looking around, maybe reading the news, you know that we live in dark times. There is no end of discouraging, despairing things happening around us. Doesn't take very long to figure that out. There's endless wars. Right now there's two major wars going on, many smaller wars that never make the news. There's natural disasters that happen. Homes are destroyed. People's lives are messed up. Families are torn apart. There's much crime. There's much political unrest. There's immorality. And as a result of all these things, there is much fear and discouragement. It also doesn't take very long to figure that out. If you relate to people in society who do not know God, there is much despair. Many people are living without hope. I was reading some statistics, and suicide is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. In 2022, there was almost 50,000 people who died from suicide. And that was about a 2.5% increase from 2021. Most of these people were between the ages of 25 and 44, in the prime of life, many years ahead of them. And yet something drove them to end their lives. There was no hope there. There was no purpose for living. Now this morning, I don't want to be discouraging or depressing, but these are the facts. This is what's going on around us. We live in a world that is hopeless, a world that doesn't have anything to live for. They try to live for things. They try to surround themselves with things, with stuff, with pleasures to fill that emptiness inside them, to give them hope, to give them life. And it doesn't work. But this morning, we have something better. There is a hope. There is a real life, a real peace that won't go away. There is a purpose for living this morning. And if you are a child of God this morning, you have that inside you. And we all know that a life without the hope of Christ, a life without Christ, is not worth living. We have all been there. Maybe some of you are still there. But Christ brings hope. Christ brings joy into life. So even in, Paul mentioned this in his comments, even in the darkness that's getting darker, there is a light. There is a hope. And that is the purpose of my message this morning. The title of my message is Abounding in Hope. You know, I don't know where y'all are at this morning in your personal lives. Maybe there are things that are discouraging you. Maybe there is depression that you're fighting against, or something big in your life that's getting you down. Or maybe you just need a reminder of what we have in Christ. And That's the goal of the message this morning, is to remind us as Christians the hope that is there, to encourage us, to lift us up. We're coming up to Christmas here next week, and I was thinking about this message, thinking about Christmas, and really that is the purpose, that is the reason we celebrate Christmas. Jesus came as a baby, and his coming means that we have hope. We have the hope of eternal life. And I'm going to go into that more in the message. So first of all, I want to look at some examples of God giving hope to his people throughout the Bible, especially the Old Testament, and then how those promises were fulfilled. And then we also want to look at what this hope is and how it affects us today, how we can make it practical for us today. So to help us understand this concept of God giving us hope, go back to the book of Genesis, all the way back to chapter 3. You know, ever since the fall of man, there has been darkness on the earth. There has been sin on the earth. Ever since, well, here in Genesis chapter 3. But the other thing along with that, God has always given hope. He has always had a message of hope for the world, a message of hope for his people. And we're going to notice that here in Genesis chapter 3. So this, we're going to start reading in verse 8. And we all know this story very, very well. Verse 8 is right after the serpent had tempted Eve and she had taken of the fruit, she eaten it, given it to Adam. He had eaten. They had disobeyed God. They had sinned. Up until this point, they had a perfect relationship with God. They were in a perfect place. There was no evil. There was no sin. There was no pain, no suffering. It was perfect. Perfect environment. They had a great thing going on here. Let's see what happens. Genesis 3, verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Now listen to verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. All right, if we would continue reading in the chapter, we would see where, because of this sin, Adam and Eve were driven out of the garden. They were separated from God. At this point here, they were separated. That relationship was broken. And I was thinking about it as I was reading this, that just the feeling, having that connection with God, that relationship, that perfect environment, and suddenly that is all gone. The hopelessness, the loss, and all that separation from God, all that perfect environment was destroyed. And it seemed like all hope was lost. Now there was this great divide between God and man. Now what was going to happen here? And yet we see in verse 15, even in the middle of this separation, in the middle of this sin and hopelessness, God gives a little glimmer of light, of hope. God talking to the serpent, talking to Satan, he says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I believe Jesus, or God, was referring to Jesus, coming, dying, rising again, overcoming sin and death once and for all. So even way back here at the beginning, I just find this so amazing. Yes, man had fallen. Yes, there was separation. Yes, there was now sin and hopelessness, but God gave hope. There was this glimmer of hope here right after the fall. And as you continue reading through the Old Testament, you know that God's people faced many dark times. God's people went through many things. They would follow God for a time. They would fall away from God. They were punished for their sins. They were led into captivity. They were separated from God. But as you read through the Old Testament, you see that always God gives hope. There is always a glimmer of hope there, even in the darkest times. And most of all, the hope of a Redeemer, the hope of a Savior who would restore that relationship between God and man. And I want to look at some of these promises. You don't have to turn to all these. I have a fair amount of verses here. You're welcome to if you want to. Isaiah chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. And he said, "Hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my God also?" Now listen to verse 14. "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And that name Emmanuel means God with us. Again, this promise that God will be with us. God would come to be with man. Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8, verses 21 and 22, and then from chapter 9, verse 1 down to verse 7. Isaiah 8, 21. Listen to the picture that these two verses paint here at the end of chapter 8. "And they shall pass through it." "And they shall pass through it, hardly bestead and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. And they shall look unto the earth, and behold, trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness." Okay, a dark picture here. Now, chapter 9, verse 1. "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire." Now listen to 6 and 7. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Again, the last part of chapter 8 paints a very dark picture. And it looks like if you read more of that chapter 8, it would look like God had abandoned his people. There was all kinds of terrible things going on. I didn't really study a whole lot into the background of this chapter, but it was definitely a dark time of feeling separated from God for the children of Israel here. And yet, in the middle of this, God gives this message through the prophet Isaiah, this message of hope. There will be a Prince of Peace. There will be someone who, this prince will rule forever. His kingdom will have no end. And imagine being in the time here of Isaiah, in the time of turmoil, in the time of maybe captivity, and everything looks dark and discouraging and no hope. And then you receive this little message, this glimmer of hope. There will be a Savior. There will be this Prince of Peace coming. And you know, I'm sure there was many that did not believe. There was many that doubted. But we have recorded in the Old Testament of those who believed, those who hung on to that hope. Think of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, David. There was many that hung on to that hope. And yet in Hebrews chapter 11, it says that they did not receive the promise. They believed it, but did not receive it. And yet they remained faithful. A few more prophecies here in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10 says, "And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious." Again, a prophecy of Jesus offering rest. Isaiah 25, 8, "He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall be taken away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it." In Isaiah 53, again, speaking of Jesus, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Again, wonderful promises of freedom. Freedom from sin. Not just freedom from an earthly oppression, but freedom from spiritual oppression, freedom from sin. Hope to those that were lost. Again, I just imagine reading this in the setting here of Isaiah, reading this and the hope that would spark inside of you if you were sitting in darkness and despair and discouragement, and this hope that someday there will be a Redeemer. Someday this root of Jesse will come and will bear our griefs. And again, God didn't just let his people sit there in discouragement. First of all, he gave them hope, like I read here, these promises. And secondly, we know that those promises were fulfilled in the coming of Jesus. Many of y'all were at our journey to Bethlehem the other evening. And I hope that you experienced a little bit of that, what I'm trying to bring out here. The feeling of the oppression that the Jews were under, the discouragement, the despair, and then the glimmer of hope. There is someone coming. Maybe he is in Bethlehem. Maybe he is here. And then finally the cross, the fulfillment of Jesus' mission, of Jesus, of why Jesus came. And that hope that was prophesied by Isaiah hundreds of years before was finally fulfilled, was finally here with the coming of Jesus. Look a little bit at some of the prophecies being fulfilled in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew 1, verses 21 through 23. This is the angel talking to Joseph. And see if some of these words and phrases don't sound familiar. Matthew 1, 21 says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Luke chapter 1, verses 30 through 33. This is the angel talking to Mary. Luke 1, verse 30. "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Remember the prophecy, everlasting kingdom. Here you go. The fulfillment of those prophecies, the hope that God gave through the prophet Isaiah, was being realized here. And that hope was not just for the Jews, it was not just for the people of this time period, but it is for us today. And now I want to shift a little bit, and I want to look at this hope, what it means for us today, and how we can make it practical for us. Turn to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 1. The first point I have about this hope is it is a living hope. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So this thing of a living hope. So other religions have hope. They have faith in dead people or dead gods. We have faith. We have hope in a living God. He rose again. And so our hope that we have is a living hope in several different ways here. First of all, like I said, we have hope in a living God. A God who conquered sin, who conquered death. He's not held back by death. He's not overcome by sin. He is on top of that. He has overcome it. It is also a living hope in that we have eternal life starting here on earth. You know, we can have new life in Christ now. A living experience. A life that overflows. It's a living hope. We can have that right now, right here. Because of what Jesus did for us, we can have victory over sin. There's life there. It says in verse 3, it says, hath begotten us again. But it doesn't stop there. In verse 5, it says, who are kept. We are begotten, but we can also be kept by the grace of God, through faith in Christ. And it is a living hope in that after this life, we will have everlasting life. We have everlasting life with God in heaven. Notice in verse 4, this reward that is laid up for us to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not, reserved. It is a sure thing that this everlasting life that we will receive, we can receive it now, but also experience it to its fullest in heaven. It is assured. It is there for us. So recently, my grandmother passed away several weeks ago, and she had lived a good long life. She was 83 years old. She had been faithful to God all the way to the end. And she had that hope of this inheritance that we just read about. It was a hope. She was looking forward to it. She hadn't experienced it yet. I was not there when she passed away, but as she was dying, she had some of my aunts and uncles were around her there. And as she was dying, her eyes opened up. She looked and said, I see the gates. And then a little bit later, she raised her hand up and said, he's coming for me. With a smile on her face, her head raised up, and she passed away. That hope at that moment, that hope that she had was realized. It was made a reality. And as we were there at the funeral, we were looking at her casket there in the front, and I was thinking, You know, what would it be like to not have that hope? What would it be like to look at death and think that that is the end? Know that I do not have any hope after death. But, you know, without Christ, that is where we all are. And maybe there's somebody here that is there. Maybe there's somebody here that does not have their hope, that hope in you. That hope is available for us today. You can receive that today. That living hope can be yours, and you can live your life so that when you die, you will have that realized. That hope will become a reality for you too. All right, this hope is a sure hope. Romans chapter 5. The first six verses of Romans 5. Now, I know Paul's been preaching out of Romans, and I hope I don't take anything from him there. But first six verses here also talk about hope. Verse 1 of Romans 5, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. So going over these verses, I want to pull out a few points from here. In verse 1, notice we have peace with God through Jesus. Remember the prophecies, the Prince of Peace? Again, this is being fulfilled in Jesus. That is, he is the Prince of Peace. In verse 2, through faith we have access to grace. And then by that we can rejoice in hope. Again, this hope that we have, it comes from a faith in God. And I have a little hard time in my mind wrapping my mind around that, but faith and hope are closely tied together, the hope that I'm talking about this morning. And the other thing about this hope here. So back to verse 2, by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And then in verse 5, hope maketh not ashamed. This hope is a sure thing. Often we hope for things that never happen. Hope that it won't rain. I hope I can go to this place. Or you fill in the blanks. We hope rather lightly, and then it doesn't happen. It's not a sure, we say we hope because we don't know for sure that it will happen. The hope that I'm talking about this morning is not that way. It is a sure thing. Verse 5, hope maketh not ashamed. That word ashamed means disappoint. The hope we have in Christ will not let us down. It will not disappoint us. And at the end of verse 5, by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us, we have the Spirit living in us, giving us assurance, giving us that hope in Christ. We also see here how hope is grown, how hope is gotten, how we get more hope. Starting in verse 3, we glory in tribulations also, because tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. You know, we don't like tribulations, we don't like trials, we don't like hard stuff. But look at these qualities that come out of that. Patience, experience, and hope. So as we are tried, as we go through things, our endurance is built up. You could put it that way. I think that word patience means endurance. As we experience these tribulations, our endurance is built up. As we endure, as we hang on through that, our character is built. We learn to trust God. We learn to have faith in God. And as a result of that, our hope in Christ grows and increases. We see God faithful in this trial. We see God faithful here. God brought me through that. I have hope in Christ that He will continue being with me as I go. As we are proven and tried, we find God faithful, and this builds our hope. As we saw in the Old Testament prophecies, God will do what He says. He is faithful even in the darkest times. This hope is a hope that leads to action. 1 John chapter 3. The first three verses of 1 John 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. If we have that hope of eternal life in us, it will spur us to keep ourselves pure. It will spur us to get rid of anything that will take away from that eternal life, that will distract us from that. To put away anything that is unclean. It calls us to action, to live lives of purity. All right, 1 Peter chapter 3. This hope is visible to others. First Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. As we are living our lives with this living hope inside of us, it should be evident to those around us that something is different with you. There is something inside that they don't have. And it also should be something we are excited to share. If you think about it, the joy and peace and expectation that this hope gives to you, why would you want to just keep it for yourself? We should be sharing that with those we come in contact with. Those, like I talked about at the beginning, those who are discouraged, those who are depressed, those who don't have this hope. We have so much that we can tell others about. And that should be at the forefront of our minds as we interact with people. Are you hiding this hope, or are you sharing it with those you come in contact with? My last point on a hope: this hope is an overflowing hope. Romans chapter 15, verse 13 says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." That word abound is interesting. It means overflowing or bubbling over. So you get a picture of a vessel, a cup, or a bucket that's just flowing over. It can't contain what's inside it. So a definition I found of hope, it says hope is joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation. So am I bubbling over with joyful expectation of eternal salvation? To put it that way. I think that's what this verse in Romans 15 is saying. You know, things happen that take away our joy. Things happen that get us down. We don't always feel like we are bubbling over with joy and hope. At least I don't. But notice here in this verse where the hope comes from. The hope doesn't come from your circumstances. It doesn't come from your feelings. It doesn't even come from the people around you. It says the God of hope. So, taking from that verse, even when I'm having a bad day, when I'm feeling down, when I don't feel like being joyful, if my focus is on God and not on the circumstances, not on what's happening, I can still have that abundant hope. I can still be abounding in that. That was a challenge for me. Too often I let circumstances bog me down and get my focus off of God. But to in the middle of hard days, to keep focused, steady on God, and through that we can abound in hope. Psalm 42:11 says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." Remember that God is the God who gives hope, and God is the God that keeps his promises. He can be trusted, and he won't let us down. In closing, a few verses from Psalm 31. Psalm 31, verses 19 through 24. This is David talking to God here. Verse 19, he says, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city." Listen to verse 22. "For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer." And verse 24, "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." Again, just a reminder, remember that God is faithful. He won't let us down. He hears our cry. And we can abound in that hope that is only found through Jesus Christ. It's my challenge for us this morning. And thinking of Christmas coming, to remember the true meaning of Christmas. Stop and think about what it means that Christ came as a baby to die for us as an adult, to rise from the dead. Think of what that means this Christmas. Because of that, we can have that abounding hope. Let's kneel for prayer.